Good morning. Let's turn to our hymnal, please, to number 47. 47. Come, sing my soul and praise the Lord, who hath redeemed thee by his blood. 47. Shall we stand to sing, please? You may be seated. I'd like to read a verse in Matthew 5 and verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16, and I'm thinking boys and girls here today because this is our Children's Day. It's also Father's Day. The two coincide. And we have children that are going to be participating, and we have a hymn we're going to sing. Everyone's going to sing that is fitting with this Bible text, Matthew 5, 16, where our Lord Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, isn't that a good text for Father's Day? Because we want to glorify our Heavenly Father, and that ought to be the desire of children and every father as well, to glorify our Heavenly Father. And we do that by letting our light shine for Him. And so we're going to unite in prayer. We ask the Lord to minister to our hearts as we just seek His face together. Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of gathering here in Your house and of worshiping Thee through our Lord Jesus. We pray for Your blessing upon us. Lord, we come because we are Your creatures. You have made us even from the dust of the ground. But for those that are saved and those that are in the Lord, we are Your children, and we call Thee our Heavenly Father. We pray for Your smile upon us in this gathering, and all that we offer unto Thee today from our hearts and our lips, that we may glorify Thee and demonstrate our love and obedience unto our God and Father. Bless the children today. Help them in their participation. We thank You for the close of another year of Sunday school. We thank You for the lessons learned, for the children that have memorized Your word. We pray that the seed of that word will be buried deep, that the Spirit of God will make it live, and that boys and girls will not only know about the Savior, but know the saving grace of a living Savior in their hearts. We pray that You will bless our teachers as well for their labor, and we ask that You'll encourage each one of us today for homes, families, grandparents, and Your blessing upon each of us as we worship unto Thee. Bless those who join us by webcast and our congregation in Prince George. We pray for Your people there. Lord, minister to their hearts, and may they know the peace, the joy, the thrill of worshiping the Savior this morning. And now hear our cries and our prayers, and bless us. We ask because our Lord Jesus is our Redeemer, and we come to Thee today on redemption ground in the name of our Savior. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to go straight to our children's program, and we are again thankful for our teachers who work with the children through the year, and they're going to come and guide them through this program now.
This Exodus Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall perish the table before me in the presence of my enemies. For thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
In the fourth petition, which is, Give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessing with them. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Proverbs 38. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Psalm 90:17. In the fifth petition, which is, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we pray that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins, which we are the rather encouraged to ask, because by His grace we are enabled from the heart to forgive others.
Jesus bids us shine with the clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus is to shine first of all for Him. When we see the nose it, if our light is dim, He will ever help us if we shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus is to shine and you work for Him, bringing those that wander from the path of sin. He will ever help us it if we shine. You in your small corner and I in mine.
Well, I'm very happy to have Children's Day because this becomes now my opportunity to tell the children a story. And I've been getting a little bit of extra practice at this recently because on Wednesday mornings, I go into the preschool, which meets downstairs, and I get an opportunity to sing with them and to tell them a Bible story. And I have to let you into a secret, and I hope you don't mind. I want to tell you the same story I told the boys and girls in the preschool this week, because I think it's a very important one. And the key word in this story is obey, and it means to do exactly what you're asked to do when you obey. Now, the opposite to obey is?
Disobey.
Right, disobey. And that means when you do something or do the opposite to what you were told to do. Or sometimes it can mean you just don't do anything. And can you imagine a soldier? And he is in the army and he must obey. If you join the army, well, you better obey or you're in big trouble. And the soldier is told to march. And he's told to go forward in a straight line. And he must obey. But if he goes wobbly and walks about in all directions and jives around, he's going to disobey. Well, I want to tell you about a man who was asked to do a very hard thing, but he obeyed God. God said to Abraham, Abram, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, Isaac, and I want you to travel that direction up that mountain, and at the top of the mountain, I want you to sacrifice him. And that would mean that Isaac would die. But Abram loved God, and this was a test to see if he would obey God or not. And so Abram was very obedient, and early in the morning, he got up early to start his journey. And he took his son Isaac with him, and Isaac had to carry the wood because on top of the mountain there might be none. And so he prepared the wood, put the bundle of wood on Isaac's back, and off they went up to that mountain, and it took 3 days to get there. 3 days of traveling. But it was very slow traveling, and it was wearisome. But they never turned back. Indeed, the Bible says they both went together, Father and Son, in obedience to God. Now, when they got to the top of the mountain, the first thing that Abram did, he built an altar. And altars were usually made from stone. And so he would gather the stones and build them up into tabletop height, just about the same as our communion table. And when they made the altar, then they put the wood on top. And Isaac asked, Dad, we've got an altar now. We've got wood. We've got fire and we have a knife, but where is the sacrifice? And Abram said, don't worry, Isaac. God will provide himself a sacrifice. Isaac wondered. And then Abram said to Isaac, you get up on the top of the altar. Me? Yes, you. But Isaac obeyed. And he got up on top of that altar, on top of the wood, and his dad tied him down to the altar. He was becoming a sacrifice. And then Abram took the knife, and he wielded that knife into the air, and he went over toward the altar where Isaac was. And Isaac's eyes must have looked up at that knife gleaming in the sun. And Abram may have paused, I have to do this to obey God. But just then God said, stop, don't do it. God spoke to Abraham and said, now I know that you really love me above everything because you were willing to sacrifice your son in obedience to me. And then Abram looked, what's that? And it was a noise in the bushes. And he noticed something in the bushes. It was a sheep, a woolly sheep. And its horns were caught in the thicket. And that was now the lamb that would become the sacrifice on the altar. And so Abram took the lamb, put it on the altar, and it died instead of Isaac. Now, can you imagine Isaac? Wow, boy, that was close. That was almost me up there. And I almost died. But now the sheep has died in my place. Isaac was so happy. He knew that his dad loved God. He knew that he obeyed God first, but he was spared and he could now live with his dad as normal. But do you know that that is really the story of God and his son? Because God had a son called Jesus. And God said to his son, I am going to offer you as a sacrifice, and you're going to die in the place of the people. And the Lord Jesus didn't disobey. The Lord Jesus obeyed. And he went to the same mountain, because that mountain where Isaac was offered was called Moriah. And that became Mount Calvary, the same mountain. And God on that cross had our Lord Jesus to die in our place. Now the Lord Jesus obeyed the Father, and there was no other lamb. Jesus was the lamb. He was the Lamb of God to take away our sins. And so on the cross, our Lord Jesus became a sacrifice for us. And by his death and by his blood, we are saved. And I'm glad that the Lord Jesus obeyed, because if he didn't die on that cross for me, then I would have to die. I would become punished. But now there is no punishment for me or you if you believe on the Lord, ask him to be your Savior, and his blood, the blood that he shed on the cross, will wash away your sins. And that is the story of the Lord's obedience. And now you have to answer the call. Will you trust him? Believe on the Lord and be saved. You must. You must. That's God's plan. And to be obedient, you must obey Him. We're going to sing a hymn together, and while we're singing, you can go back and sit with your mom and dad again, and we'll sing our next hymn. And we're turning to 718. Jesus bids us shine. 718. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. 718. We're all going to stand to sing, please.
Jesus bids us shine with a clear
to preach on the very best father that you can be. And for this, we're turning to this Psalm 119. And the reason for this is because it begins with blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The word blessed means joyfully happy. And every boy and girl deserves a father that is joyfully happy in his role, in home, and in his life. Now, this will be the man of the word, because Psalm 119 is predominantly, well, it's David's great legacy of his commitment to God's word. And so this will be the man who comes along to church with his Bible under his arm. And you can just tell that he's coming along to hear God's word preached and God speak to his heart. He will also have this Bible on his kitchen table because it is his daily food. And he wants to be hearing God's voice to his heart on a daily basis. And he's like this. He's a man of the word because, well, he has that word written on his heart. And that's the new covenant. That is God's work of grace in salvation, that he opens our hearts and he writes his word and puts his law right into our hearts. Now, all of this, of course, is relative in a fallen world, because even David, the author of this psalm, well, he had his good days and his bad days. He had his defeats as well as his victories. And David had bitter discouragement at times when there was all kinds of problems. So we're not saying, you know, this is the idealism of a man who never has a problem, who never has an issue, never has a major decision or reverse in his life. This is the man who is blessed in his good days, and he's also blessed in his bad days. Now, we know, of course, that there really only was one perfectly blessed man, and that was the Lord Jesus. He was the blessed man, well, because he was God's Son, because he was perfect without sin, and he was the obedient man who kept God's law in every way. And so, fathers, if you would be the blessed man, well, your prayer ought to be that you be the Christ-like man. And the more that we are like the Lord, truly the more blessed, the more joyful we will be in our Christian lives. Now in this psalm, the section that we read, verses 1 to 8, I see a number of things about this blessed man. He is blessed in his walk. We are told here in verse 1 that he is the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. In verse 2, he's blessed in his worship because he seeks the Lord with all his heart and he comes to worship God. Verse 3 to 4, he is blessed in his witness. And you will see they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways, and that becomes his witness. And your neighbors know that's the kind of person that you are. And then verses 5 to 8, you have the blessed man in his will or his decisions, his purpose in life. And you can see there in verse 5, he starts with this wish, this prayer. Oh, that my ways were directed into thy statutes. And so this is the blessed man that is described for us here. And we look firstly then at his walk in verse 1. Now you'll notice at the outset that this man is walking in God's way. He is the man who is undefiled in the way. God only has one way. God has only one will for his people. And that will is laid out in his word, and it is like a map that is to be our guide. And when you are in God's way, you will be the blessed man, woman, or young person. You will undoubtedly have joy, peace in knowing that you are in the way of the Lord. Now, to be out of the way, of course, is to be lost. To be out of the way is to be in misery. It is to lose the very smile and favor with God. And usually, now I say this as a pastor, and I understand that there's exceptions to every rule in life, but usually when God's people lose their song, it's because they're out of the way that God has appointed for them. When they are miserable and despondent and lose the thrill of being a Christian, they have somewhere along life stepped out of God's way. And they can't get that song back. And they can't experience God's blessing. Prayer doesn't work for them. Reading the Bible is no joy to them because they are out of the way. And we know that even King David had to learn that himself, that until he humbled himself and confessed his sin and pleaded that the Lord would restore to him the joy of his salvation. And those things always come together. And so this joyful man, this happy man who's blessed of God, he's in the way. And it is a joy to his own soul. Now it's also, he is walking in the way of peace. Because it tells us right off here that blessed are the undefiled. The undefiled. This is the person who has learned the gospel, who has learned how to get saved, how to be washed in the blood of Jesus, how to be clean and white in the robes of Christ's righteousness. And that is a great peace to his own heart. I think you will probably know that text in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And you'll notice justification leads to peace. And if you can say that I am justified in God's sight, just as if I'd never sinned, I am washed in the blood, then you have peace. You know the blessedness of walking in the way of the Lord. Now, this blessed man is not like the man who's walking on eggshells. You know what I mean by that? You know, you wonder, you have to be awfully careful about stepping here and stepping there, and crunch, and I blow it all. Everything's just smashed in pieces and ruined. That's not the gospel figure. That's not the joy of the Christian, because we are justified today, justified tomorrow, and justified for all eternity. The Lord gives His people eternal life. And this is not a probation. This is not a test that we're under, trying to put our steps right and step right, and if we step wrong, smash, it's gone. No, this is life that brings us peace to walk with God. So, it is God's way. It's the way of peace. It's also the way of progress. There's progress here in walking. When you're standing still, of course, there's no progress. But the man who's walking is making progress. And every step with the Lord is a step to higher ground. It is a step of closer fellowship, going on with the Lord. Now, at first, every Christian just takes baby steps. And we seem to make so little progress for a while. And then it's a wonderful thing to see Christians taking giant steps, adult steps. And they're starting now to make decisions that really show that they're no longer living for the world. They're no longer making decisions just to please themselves. But they are making progress in the Christian life to have a testimony of a Christian. And you can see that in their own lives. And it's great and it's joyful when you experience progress in your own life. You may know the story of Christian in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. On that day when he was traveling, he became weary and he went and slept at an arbor. Now, it was probably a shaded place with a seat. And there he had a nap. And he took a sleep for a while from his journey. And when he got up, he noted that he was late and dashed off. And then he discovered that he forgot his scroll. And he had to go back, all the way back down the hill again to the arbor where he had rested. And there was his scroll. And then was the next big climb back up the hill again. And that's when he lamented that he had to cover the same territory three times. Our Christian life can be like that if we're not making progress. It seems that we have to learn the same lessons over and over. We have to go back to the old spot and get something, and then we have to climb the hill all over again. When you are walking in the way of the Lord, you make progress, and you're earnest that you might go on and through with God. Let me ask you, just as your pastor today, can you say that you are going forward in the Christian life? Or are you just doing the same things over and over? That's an important, well, the answer is really important. How you answer that in your own heart before God today is very, very important. Because you don't want to be a Christian that's stuck just in one spot, wearying yourself. And it becomes burdensome. It becomes heavy-hearted Christianity when you're not making progress. And so see the blessed man. He's the man that's at peace, and he's the man that's making progress. And you'll notice that he's a man of purpose because he's walking in the law of the Lord. If you ask this man about what's right and what's wrong, he could tell you. He could tell you the things that please God and the things that are contrary to God, because this is the man who basically has the Ten Commandments as his rule. He's got the law of the Lord to be his guide. He's not lost. He's not the man who's confused. He's a man of conviction. And he's settled on these issues. And he knows where he's going. And when you ask him, what are your plans? What are your convictions about marriage? He could tell you, it's God's word. I have no ifs, buts, or wherefore. Well, how do you worship God? He could tell you, God has commanded me to have one God only, and I am not to take his name in vain. I'm to honor him and to hallow his day. These are the things that he knows, and he knows them with certainty, because he's walking in the way of the Lord. And it's that certainty of purpose that brings joy to his heart. He's glad that he knows these things. And he's glad that he knows how to live his life for God. And so be a man of purpose. Be a woman of purpose. Be a father that shows your children by example. I'm a man with a purpose to life. I'm not just aimlessly going hither and thither and doing this today and reversing it and a man that's all mixed up, making no progress in life. Here's the blessed man pictured for us. One more thing about him here. He's the man of power with God. He's got power with God because he's walking with God. He will have the Lord's presence in his life. And as he walks with the Lord, he will have communion and the Lord will give him the strength for the journey. Let me ask you, are you finding the Lord giving you strength for your journey, for your walk? The closer you get to the Lord, the more power you experience. And it's true, we cannot afford to allow anything to drive a wedge between us and the Lord. We'll lose our power. We'll lose our joy. We'll lose our song. Now, verse 2, he's blessed in worship. Now, this link between the blessed man's walk and his power with God brings us naturally to his worship. You'll notice that the two key words in verse 2, keeping and seeking. It's the man who's keeping the law that will be seeking the Lord. The two go together, and they go together so happily and so easily that they are musts. And I want you to note this. It says here in verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And the two go together. If your Bible is sitting with a layer of dust on it, abandoned, neglected, and if you don't take time to seek the word, the law of the Lord, well, you're not seeking God with all your heart. You're not doing so diligently. And if you're going to be a man of prayer and a man of power with God, well, you need to do both these things. Keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. And in reality, you've got a decision to make. You're either going to be a man of God or a man of the world. You're going to be a man who has seek the Lord with your whole heart, then you've got to keep his testimonies. Take the world, but give me Jesus. That's the Christian's attitude. Not like the man who went to a minister and he said, I would give the whole world to have a close walk with God as you have. And the answer is, well, that's exactly what it cost me, the whole world. And you have to give up worldly thinking, worldly living, worldly things that you may enjoy seeking the Lord with your whole heart. In real terms, if you're watching the Hollywood movies of sinful productions, and then you turn off the television, open your Bible and try to read and pray, don't expect power and blessing in your own soul. God requires purity. Who shall enter into the presence of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. So, it's important what these hands have been doing all week. If these hands have been engaged in sin all week, how can I come and worship on the Lord's day? You see the link? Keeping his law, seeking him with the whole heart. These things are absolutely important. And Father, I just want to say a little word to you on this Father's Day. Your children will be the first to notice any duplicity in your Christian walk. If they see that you're trying to lead them in worship, but in reality you're not keeping his commandments, if you're trying to do one without the other, your children will be the very first to notice that, well, let's call it what it is, hypocrisy. They will see the inconsistency. And they will say, you know, my dad, it don't do what I do, it's do what I say. And so there has to be these two things going together. And many young people are sickened and saddened by the duplicity of the father who prays maybe in church. He offers prayer in church, but his walk is not right with God. And so let it start with obedience. And that little message to the boys and girls today really applies to me and all dads here as well. The very first thing the Lord is looking for is obedience. Do you remember what God said to Samuel? Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what God's looking for. And he's looking for it in our hearts. I want to take you to Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. This is really just a practical word for dads here today. And how we ought to be that role model in our homes as we seek to train our children in the way in which they should go. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now, Psalm 119, how did I get to Deuteronomy 6? Psalm 119 is all about God's commandments, God's precepts, God's statutes. And here we have them. Here's what David would have been reading. Here's the very thing that David was talking about. He is talking about that he is walking in the law of the Lord, keeping his testimonies. Well, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments in Deuteronomy 6:1, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So here is the command of the Lord to fathers. We're to teach our children. And we are to keep the law, teach the law, as we seek the blessing of the Lord. And so it's a matter of giving the Lord your heart, giving the Lord your everything. Do you see here how important it is that we be born again? Who is the man that can possibly do this? Well, he is the one who's got a new heart. The unconverted, the unsaved person can't do this. You're in the flesh. You are in the old nature. You have an Adamic nature. You love your sin. You love the world. You love to walk in the things that please the flesh. That's the mark of the ungodly, the worldly person. But for the man of God who is going to obey the Lord, to keep his law and seek him with a whole heart, you need to be born again. And that's why Jesus said it. Ye must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God except a man be born again. So this is for Christian believers, born again fathers, mothers who know the Lord and are saved. The other thing I want you to see, and this is application now, this is me as your pastor bringing out of these truths something for you to take to your own heart. Do you see why Christianity is not for hypocrites? It's not for people who say one thing and do the opposite. That's not Christianity. Christianity is very demanding. Christianity demands consistency of speech and walk and worship. And when those things are in place, there's joy. Some people have only got enough religion to make them miserable. But you need the Holy Spirit living in you. You need to be born again. You need to have a heart that's truly desiring to serve God. And when your heart is right, your feet will begin to walk in the ways that are truly pleasing. One more point. This is one more, I'll call it the pastor's application. Do you see how the call to worship demands total surrender? The call to worship demands total surrender. I wonder how many here today are absolutely surrendered in worshiping the Lord. That means keeping the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And as we know, that's not just negative. You know, don't look at Buddha and don't look at other idols and so on. That means that you give your heart wholly to the one Lord and live for him. Are you doing that? This, as I say, is the demand of Christianity. We move now very quickly, and I see my time is really beating me here, but in verse 3 you will see that he is the blessed man in his witness. So, to give you the outline now, we have noticed already that he's the blessed man in his walk, he's the blessed man in his worship, and then in verse 5, he's the blessed man in his witness. Because I think that verse 5 really is when others look on, they see what he does. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed. Thou hast commanded, verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And you'll notice it's what he does that counts. And that becomes your example, keeping the precepts diligently. Now, that's like your neighbors looking on. And I don't know if you've got neighbors that look through the curtains or around the curtains and keep an eye on you, but they probably do that more than ever we imagine. And they exactly know, well, you went talked to them and said you're a Christian, that you go to church and you love the Lord, and maybe you gave them a gospel tract or some introduction to Christianity, and now they're watching you as their neighbor. And so they're going to see what you do on Sundays. They're going to see whether you stay home or you go to church, as you said you do, and are they going to see you fixing your front steps, getting the wheelbarrow out and mixing the cement and getting your work clothes on and all of that? And they say, well, I thought that person was a Christian. I thought that they loved the Lord and they go to church. And no, it doesn't match up. You see, the godly man's witness has to be in agreement with his walk and with his service for the Lord. And of course, they will see your example. And they will also see your zeal. Now, I get the word zeal here from verse 4, where it says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Diligently means with enthusiasm. With enthusiasm. I hope you came to church today with enthusiasm. I would hate people to come to church, oh no, it's Sunday. Oh no, I have to go and hear that fellow Gallagher preach again. I have to get my life organized, that I have to get into the car at a certain time and not arrive late. And, you know, the preacher might call a hymn and say, we have to sing that hymn again because so-and-so's late. You know, do I have to do this? No, I think our worship should be joyful. And this theme of the blessed man, the happy, joyful man, well, that's going to be part of our witness. We want to see you come through the door smiling. We want to hear your singing and praises unto the Lord. And really, that is part of the example. Now, this comes now what you do and how you practice your Christianity. You've probably heard the adage that we should all do random acts of kindness. Well, we should. Yes, spontaneity is good when we have an opportunity to do something. But what about steady acts of Christlikeness? That would be good, wouldn't it? Steady acts of Christlikeness. Getting our worship and our practice in alignment so that we are truly serving the Lord. Your wife would be encouraged by that. And your children, that's what they're looking for. Fathers, to be the very best father you can be, there ought to be that matching the two together. And then verses 5 to 8, this is really a prayer. Because verse 5 begins with, Oh, that my ways were directed into thy statutes. And here is the longing and praying of the man of the book. He feels his need. I need help to do this. And oh, that my ways are not perfect. And no Christian man's ways are perfect. None of us can say we've conquered every evil and mastered every temptation. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And so you'll see here that he's praying for direction. Isn't it a great thing to hear a brother or a sister praying for direction? My, it's nothing that brings more joy to my heart and to God's people in this church than to hear you in a prayer meeting say, Lord, I need your direction. I need you to go before me. You've promised in John chapter 10, when the Lord puts forth his shepherd, he goes before them. And Lord, I need you to go before me. I need my direction in my life. I need to be prevented from wrong decisions. How often that is a problem in our lives. We make wrong decisions. We go the wrong way. And here is the godly man, the blessed man, and he knows the law of the Lord. He knows what's right. But he's on his knees praying for direction. There indeed is the blessed man. Now you'll also notice that there's no shame. Verse 6, then shall I not be ashamed. One of the most wonderful things about being a Christian is that we really have no regrets. We have no regrets in living the Christian life. The ungodly, they make money, but they blow it too. And the ungodly might prosper and get their hour of fame. But it's trite. What does it mean at the end of the day? And of course, at the end of life, they have no Savior. But the Christian who obeys the Lord, now it costs to obey God. There's a cross. There's a price to pay. But when you serve the Lord, there's no shame. There's no shame. Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And this is what brings joy to our hearts. There's no shame. You think of the man that's working in the casino and he's seeing lives breaking down and people in financial burdens and problems, the misery that it brings. It's a life of shame. Or all the other vices and worldly things that people pursue and the damage and the misery it creates, the shame of it. But when you're walking in the law of the Lord and finding your delight in him, well, then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. Did you notice the attitude of the man here? There's no pride. Then I shall not be ashamed. He's not boasting. He's just praying, Lord, keep me in the way. Don't allow me to make a fool of myself. I have the capability of making a fool of myself. I have the capability of making the wrong decisions, no matter how old I am, no matter what experience I have. Lord, if I don't get it right with God and get right direction, I could do the wrong thing and be filled with shame. Here is an earnest, humble cry from his heart that he gets it right with God. And then I close verse 7. What a wonderful thing you will see here. I will praise thee with uprightness. Here is the theme of the joyful man. I will praise thee with uprightness. What a wonderful thing to have this spirit of praise. And when you meet this man, he will be the man with a song. Yes, you'll hear him whistling as he works. You will hear him humming. He may not be able to hold a tune in a bucket, but he has a song in his heart. And he's got the spirit of joy that's filling his own soul as he walks with God. And he's got a spirit of praise. And when he comes into the Lord's house, he'll not stand with the hymn book closed. And he'll not just let it sit there and look all around him while everyone else is singing. There will be such praise in his heart that he wants to come to worship the God who has blessed him and helped him and kept him in all his way. Now, this inner life of blessedness doesn't slow you down. It quickens your step. It gives you encouragement, zeal, and indeed, as Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you come to God's house weary today? Did you come to God's house feeling worn out? How can I live for God anymore? How can I do this? Here is the answer. Get the song. Get in the way, and the blessedness will be your portion. Hymn 525 is our closing hymn, 525. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. 525. Shall we stand to sing together?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what glory He sheds on our way. What we do is the will. He abides with us still, and all who will trust and obey.
You have been listening to our morning church service here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I trust you've been blessed through today's ministry. What a joy to enter into the presence of the Lord and worship Him according to His Word. We believe the Word of the Lord is the power of God unto salvation. And may God in grace give you faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. here at our church on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue in Cloverdale. You will find all the details on our website at www.cloverdalefpc.ca. If you can't join us in person, you can join us by live webcast at our church times, 10:30 and 6. Just click the red Live Now button on the front page of our website. If I can be of personal help, feel free to email me or give me a call at 604-576-1091. That's 576-1091. The church's mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. You can listen to our programs each day through the week on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. We look forward to having you listen in and letting us know you have been blessed. The website again is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. May the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care each and every day. Well, thank you all for your attendance. May the Lord bless you and bring you back again soon. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for the mercies of the Lord, and we praise Thee for this book, this law that You've given us. And truly, O Lord, we have found something of the joy that comes from serving and following Thee. Bless Your people today with this joy. Fill every heart with the blessedness that comes from knowing the Savior and serving Him. We pray for the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we part. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each believer now and ever. Amen.